Today's scripture lesson comes from Hebrews 12, verses 18 to 29. God's word says, "You have not come to a mountain that can be touched and that is burning with fire, to darkness, gloom, and storm, to a trumpet blast, or to such a voice speaking words that those who heard it beg that no further word would be spoken to them, because they could not bear what was commanded. If even an animal touches the mountain, it must be stoned to death. The sight was so terrifying that Moses said, 'I am trembling with fear.' But you have come to Mount Zion, to the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of the righteous made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. See to it that you do not refuse him who speaks. If they did not escape when they refused him who warned them on earth, how much less will we if we turn away from him who warns us from heaven? At that time, his voice shook the earth, but now he has promised, 'Once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heavens.' The words 'once more' indicate the removing of what can be shaken, that is, created things, so that what cannot be shaken will remain. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire." Question, has anyone been planning a trip lately? Maybe you're in the process of just starting to plan your next vacation. If so, the planning is likely going to involve a laptop and or a smartphone, right? Now, for our parents, and even for some of us, 15 or 20 years ago, the planning for such an event was totally different, wasn't it? When your parents planned a summer vacation, they would have likely gone to the local auto club and picked up a stack of maps and guidebooks and brochures that would tell all about the potential destination. And if it was a road trip, they might have obtained a strip map that outlined all the construction along the way. Anyone remember those? And if it wasn't the auto club, it was probably a travel agent. Do you remember the days when almost every single mall had a travel agency in it? I remember the last travel agency I was in several years ago in Logansport. Rachel and I were planning our Disney World vacation with the kids, and on the walls of this agency hung huge murals of sun-drenched beaches and glistening cities and famous world marks. Now, back in the day, the agent would have given you a guidebook listing reviews of hotels and the sights to see. But those reviews were often written by auto club employees who rated places based upon their particular expert criteria. And Mom and Dad wouldn't have necessarily seen a photo of the place in the guidebook either, nor would they have known much about the place, not much more than maybe the little paragraph description that it was written in the book. And of course, most of these reviews and prices, well, they were out of date by the time they were in print. But at least it was something. Unless a friend or relative recommended a particular place, our parents were really flying blind, and it was not until they reached the destination that they would really know what they had gotten themselves into. Today, we don't plan trips this way anymore, do we? You see, the internet changed all of that, especially when the site TripAdvisor was launched in the year 2000. From that point on, travel planning was never the same. TripAdvisor has changed how we travel. It has changed where we travel, and it has changed how we plan to do it. And of course, this website has inspired other apps that fit hand in glove with the new approach to seeing the world. I mean, think about it. With the arrival of the GPS, maps now have tended to be tucked into drawers. And the reviews of experts have been replaced with the fresher perspective of ordinary travelers who offer their reviews and recommendations to their fellow adventurers. On TripAdvisor or similar websites like Trivago, Booking.com, and Wanderer, we can book a particular hotel or flight. We can rent a car. We can get advice from a forum, and we can look at dozens and dozens of pictures of the places that we want to go. Now, granted, you have to be somewhat discerning when reading the reviews because, well, one person's trashy hotel is another person's, you know, budget gem. I mean, complaints from a Texan about tiny hotel rooms will seem ridiculous to someone from Europe, where hotel bathrooms are often so small that you even have to go outside to even change your mind. And of course, some people who write reviews of a place, well, some people, they are just never satisfied. They always find something to complain about, don't they? They complain about the little things. Although the majority of the people that write these reviews are easier to please, which is why most of the reviews on TripAdvisor are either a 4 or 5 bubbles. And understand this, just because a place gets a lot of reviews, it doesn't necessarily mean it's a better place or more popular than a similar place with fewer reviews. It just means that more people wrote about that one than the other. You see, the bottom line is this. Despite all the advice you can now get on a particular destination, you still have to go there and experience it for yourself. The TripAdvisor logo is an owl, the classic symbol of wisdom. But you may have never noticed that the owl's eyes are 2 different colors. Anyone ever notice that? It's true. If you go look that up this afternoon, one eye is red and the other eye is green. The 2 colors symbolize the way travelers choose where to go, which would be green, and where not to go, red. Choosing wisely, well, it's an art form that can make all the difference in the quality of the journey. And the writer of Hebrews offers us a kind of TripAdvisor review of 2 different destinations that are stark contrast in quality. The writer recognized that the whole Bible is really the story of a journey. A journey that begins in the first Eden and ends in the second. And understand this, the metaphor of the journey and the hero's quest is constantly in play. I mean, think about it. In Genesis, we encounter a man who leaves his home and travels to a country about which he knows nothing about. He does it on faith alone, no advice from TripAdvisor. Abraham and his family trekked from Ur to Canaan, took a side trip to Egypt, and then came back again. His grandson Jacob also went to Egypt, not to see the great pyramids under construction, but to be reunited with his long-lost son, Joseph. Centuries later, Jacob's descendants journeyed from Egypt into the wilderness, and 40 years later, they landed in what they called the Promised Land. And in this case, if you remember back to scriptures, the number of reviews, many of them were negative, except for, well, Joshua and Caleb, who brought back positive reviews. And the emerging nation decided to push forward onto the Jordan River. Still, centuries later, their descendants were unwillingly carted off to Babylon. And then about 70 years later, they were allowed to return. And as we continue along the journey, then we eventually get to Jesus. From the Gospel of Luke, chapter 9, verse 51, to chapter 19, verse 47, we have chronicled for us Jesus' trip and his steady push to Jerusalem, and then eventually to his certain death. Finally, the journey motif is highlighted in Hebrews chapter 11, where the journey of the Christian in the church is compared to a sojourn in a strange land. You see, believers understand that this world, it's a temporary home, and that their true home is in heaven. And they know that it is heaven towards which they continue to travel. But friends, before we get there, we have to do a red-green comparison. Remember a reference back to the red and green eyes of the TripAdvisor's owl. Because in verses 18 to 24, the writer contrasts the quality of Israel's physical and material journey to encounter God at Sinai during the Exodus with the quality of the spiritual journey made by Christians toward encountering God in the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. You see, one journey is a journey where the reviews reveal a sense of fear, foreboding, and the other is a destination, well, it gets 5 stars. In verses 1 and 2, after reciting a list of the faithful in Israel's history, the writer urged his readers to repeatedly press on with the journey of faith, to run with perseverance the race that is set before us with Jesus Christ, who endured his journey to the cross. In verse 12, the writer encourages his people to lift your drooping hands and strengthen your weak knees and make straight paths for your feet, so that what is lame may not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. In other words, my friends, this journey that we are going on, this journey, the Christian life, well, it can be a rough one. There are obviously hilltop experiences, but there are also valleys in which we will travel. That is the reality that we face. In this life here on earth, we will have trouble. And I mean, think about it. If Jesus went through all that he had to go through, why should we expect it be any different for us? But understand this. As Christians, we have hope because we know that the destination is worth it. Friends, it's important to keep that sense of perseverance in mind and not see it as a burden. It's not a repeat of the old Exodus, says the writers, which was a journey that earned mostly bad reviews from the Israelites. The journey to Mount Sinai via the desert was toward something that can be touched. And it was one that was characterized by blazing fire and by darkness and gloom. It was a stormy trip for the Israelites. These aren't generally the kind of descriptions that you want to see on TripAdvisor, are they? The Israelites heard the voice of God at Sinai, and it terrified them that they, to the point that they begged that not another word be spoken to them. God had ordered that no one could touch the mountain, nor could their animals go near it under penalty of death. And even Moses himself was shaken by the experience. The review the writer offers here is of a journey where access to God was, well, it was restricted. It's like planning a trip to a dream destination only to find out when you get there that the place is closed. Like the Griswolds discovering the padlocked Wally World after a fantastically awful journey to get there in National Lampoon's Vacation. And God gave the people the law through Moses on Mount Sinai. And while he gave it them specific directions for how to live, it didn't provide a way to overcome their sin for good. Thus, they were prone to wander, prone to complain, and prone to fall short of their destination. Even when they reached the promised land, they were still searching for the ultimate destination. They were still blocked from full access to a holy God by their sin and by the curtain in the temple that separated them from God's holiness. But you see, this trip was a necessary step along the road to full access to God. Just as you can't really appreciate a good hotel room unless you have experienced a bad hotel room with which to compare it to. So the writer of Hebrews describes the journey of Israel and giving of the law as an experience of the need for an upgrade. An upgrade that was freely offered through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ on the Mount of Calvary, a vitally important stop along the way. To appreciate that upgrade, however, we need to know what sin is before we can overcome it. We need to know that God is serious about dealing with sin before we deal with it. We need to know that God is holy and God is just and set apart before we can really worship Him. You see, God had to put in some red lights to keep the people of God from choosing poorly until He gave them the ultimate green light by coming in person and saving them from sin once and for all. The death and resurrection of Christ opened the way for not only God's chosen people, but for all people to reach the destination of Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem. Now, notice the contrast between the reviews here. In other words, if there was a TripAdvisor who was going to write a review about going to Sinai, well, it would say, expect fear and darkness and gloom and stormy conditions. I don't know about you, but I would think maybe we should try somewhere else. Then how about the heavenly Jerusalem? It looks like we might have some powerful experiences there and see some incredible sights here. The review might say, first we'll meet an uncountable angels, amount of angels, in a festal gathering. Then we see the assembly of the firstborn who are enrolled in heaven. Then we see God, the judge of all, and the spirits of the righteous made perfect. And finally on our destination, we meet Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, whose blood speaks a better word than that of Abel. This is the review of the ultimate destination for people who persevere and have faith in Jesus Christ. But the question is, are you ready to travel there? Are you ready to travel there? You see, because it's not enough just to read the review. In order to experience this destination, you have to heed the advice and actually go there. And we might want to pick up some tips about the culture along the way. The writer of Hebrews urges us to hear the voice of God, just like those who heard it on Mount Sinai, and to heed what he says. You see, my friends, rejection of God's word has dire consequences, as verse 25 tells us. God's voice shook the earth back then. But God will soon shake both heaven and earth, removing the material barriers between God and the people of God and revealing a kingdom, well, a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And you know, living in such a kingdom will require a change of culture. I mean, think about it. When we are traveling, especially maybe overseas, we need to learn the local customs and language and ways of being, right? Well, the same is true for God's kingdom. And the writer of Hebrews gives us some things to practice in anticipation of reaching this ultimate destination. First, in this new culture, it is really bad form to interrupt God or to not listen to God. Verse 25 says, "See that you do not refuse the one who is speaking, for if they did not escape when they refused the one who warned them on earth, how much less will we escape if we reject the one who warns us from heaven?" You see, this tip, it reminds us that when God spoke from an earthly mountain, well, the Israelites, they didn't listen. And we see from Scripture what happened to them. So it's encouragement for us to learn from them and to listen to what God says when he speaks. Second, we should express our thanks. Verse 28 says, "Let us give thanks by which we offer to God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe." You see, listening to God and offering our thanksgiving are two very important tips for getting the full experience on this adventure that we call the Christian life. Friends, the Christian life is it's a tough journey. It's a tough journey. But the destination is more than worth it. Jesus provides us with a joyful approach to God and his kingdom if we heed his word and follow his advice. And whenever we worship together with reverence and awe, and when we spur one another on in our Christian walk, we are contributing to our ability to successfully walk down that Christian road that Christ has laid before us. And we should give thanks to God in all things that we experience. When we do all of those things, Well, when we do all those things, we are practicing living in the culture of the kingdom. And understand this. It's the one destination where all the reviews will be spectacular. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, we just thank you for your word. Lord, it is clear that this life is difficult. Some believe that once you become a Christian, that things will be great and there will be no more problems. But Lord, we know that to be not true. We know that if Jesus lived on this earth and went through all the struggles that he had to go through, even up to crucifixion on a cross, we know that we as his followers can expect that we too will have trouble. We too will have difficulties. But Lord, as we continue to travel along this road, may we always remember that the final destination is one of eternal bliss, eternal happiness. Help us as we travel this road that is before us. Help us to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. We just thank you and love you, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.